Hello, everybody. This is Christina with On Request Magazine, and I have the pleasure today of speaking with Fabian Manzano from Boyce Avenue. How are you doing?
Thank you for chatting. It's nice to talk to you.
Well, I'm really excited to talk to you, and I just want to let our listeners and readers know, in case you've been living under a rock or you don't utilize YouTube for checking out new artists, Boyce Avenue is just the third most viewed band on YouTube. And, you know, we'll throw a couple numbers out there. 1.5 billion views currently and 6.3 million subscribers, which those numbers just seem so unreal, but they are. So this is the level of talent we're talking to today. It still blows my mind when I read your numbers.
Right? It blows my mind too. It's like sometimes I even find it hard to believe that, like, I mean, A, it's a testament to, I guess, how successful we've been, but then also a testament to just how massive certain sites like YouTube are. Like, I'm like, there's people on YouTube, like, these types of social media sites like Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, I mean, they're just so massive in today's music industry culture, I guess. But yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, one of the things that I definitely was going to talk to you about is just the whole culture of it. And YouTube, you know, really has started to bring so many artists to the forefront. And to me, it seems like you guys are such an inspiration for other artists, you know, to really, you know, jump in and do covers while trying to promote your own music. So I want to talk to you about that more, but real quick, I just wanted to ask you a little bit, for people who aren't familiar with your story, about the band itself and just you guys growing up, three brothers with a love of music. I mean, when did this turn into something that you wanted to do for the rest of your life?
Yeah, for sure. I can take it back and do a basic little breakdown. But we are three brothers. I'm the middle brother, and I'm 30 years old. So we've been doing it for a little while now. We basically, I think we got kind of a late start in the game. It wasn't like we were playing instruments when we were 5, 6, 7 years old. I didn't start playing guitar until I was probably like 15 or 16. But then once we started, we really fell in love with it, and I feel like we were more focused. At that point, we already knew what we loved, what we didn't love, and we kind of took off running. I went off to college and started to play a lot of gigs in Gainesville, Florida, because we all went to the University of Florida. So there was a period of time where my younger brother and I, we would do the gig circuit and the bar circuit, where we would play all these different college bars, and it was madness. I mean, on the weekends, with all these young college kids coming out and raging, and it was a lot of fun, and it helped to sort of, like, dial in our live performance job. But then we started in 2007, the first videos on YouTube, and it just kind of blew up, and it changed the game. It was like, oh my gosh, it's so instead of, like, instead of working our butts off and set up and play just drunk people in this bar, we can post a video, and it can go out to the entire world. I mean, our venue literally essentially becomes the entire world. We have fans in the Philippines be able to watch our video, watch our performance online. And then we kind of just became obsessed with that concept. Started posting way more videos, and we started really engaging with our fans through the comment sections in the videos, and it just sort of started to snowball. And it was kind of like, man, it's like the local vibes which that's the city. And I mean, we're not in it for the money. I mean, it's more hours of live music. There's something kind of wrong there. So we just got kind of fed up with that, and we started
Well, yeah, I was wondering, you know, that's such a great story, you know, for people to, you know, hear, especially for artists who are looking for ways to promote their music. And, you know, I'm kind of interested in the band meeting where you guys sat down and were like, yeah, you know, let's start, you know, maybe doing some covers on YouTube and see what happens. I mean, did you see other artists doing that and think, wow, that's just such a great way to, you know, get out there and get people to listen to our original stuff?
Yeah, well, I remember seeing a couple young girls actually who were doing like webcam videos, and I think I saw Mario Yuzuki do a cover, and I forget some of the other early artists that we saw, but there was definitely other people we saw doing it. And we're just like, oh, but then, you know, we can do this ourselves. We should try this. At that time, though, we hadn't seen any bands doing it. It was all just like, you know, a singer-songwriter type stuff, individual solo artists. So like, you know, why don't we try to be the first band that can really, you know, do some cool stuff on YouTube? And it just, it all happened really fast, to be honest. I mean, the first video we sent to you was in 2007, and I remember that August 2008, I got married, and we all quit our daily jobs. But it was in a year, it quickly became something viable, and it became an actual listening and business plan where we're like, man, this is good, and, you know, this could be how we make our living. It's crazy, like, I think from that point, it was like music was our love and our hobby and our passion, but it was like, man, can this really be something that we can live off of, all three of us? We just really grown men in the band and actually survived. And then it was like mid-away, it was like, man, I think it can work. So we all quit our day jobs. I was working as a designer, graphic designer. Miguel, the brother, he went to Harvard Law School, and he was actually practicing law at a really, really legit law firm here in town. And we basically just said sorry, gave our 2 weeks notice, and we kind of like lost time, but an unbelievable platform for musicians to get out there and have 100% control of their brand and their music.
Yeah, that's really a great thing too, because nowadays, you know, and you guys went through this yourselves, it's a lot different dealing with labels now than it used to be in the past. So, you know, being an independent artist is really a great way to go, and when you can promote yourself the way you guys have, which is still mind-blowing, yeah, it, you know, you can get your music out there, and it definitely has boosted your original stuff that you're doing, you know, and that's another thing I want to talk about. You know, your original stuff is so beautiful. It's phenomenal. You know, some people might think, well, the originals are so good that it almost overshadows that you guys have original music, but I can say arguably with the numbers of sales that you've gotten on your original stuff, it's actually the opposite. It's boosted it tremendously, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's just like anything in this world. I think there's a level of compromise. You know, obviously, if we were doing 100% originals, there's something gratifying and beautiful about that. But that's not really realistic, at least in our opinion. You know, life's about balance and it's about compromise. And we realize that the covers, they bring us new fans, they bring us new people, they bring us new eyes watching our videos. And we need that. Even if our viewership for original stuff is a small fraction of the people who are watching the covers, we'll still take that. We'll take anything. I mean, it's like, if we can go, because our lives, we perform live is always more predominantly original music than covers. So if we can spend 2,000 people sold out in Orlando, Florida, if we can play 3,000 people in LA, or whatever it is, and we get to play some of our original music, then it's like, I'm sure so, like, why and not want a little bit and do some of these covers, you know? And don't get me wrong, we actually really enjoy doing covers. It's still music. Music is music. Anytime I can sit down and play guitar or sing, and it doesn't matter if it's an original song or cover, I'm happy. That's what I'm 6 years new, and I'm stoked. So it absolutely just worked out perfect. It's like the covers, the originals then help legitimize the covers, and it gets this cycle that they work really well hand in hand. It's like when people come to see us live, they're like, oh my God, you know, they were great on the computer screen, but they can also, you know, my younger brother, I love him to death, and it's not like I'm being arrogant talking about myself, I'm talking about him. I can honestly say I've got one of the best male vocals out there. I love him, I'm so proud of him, and I think he's got that live. It's like, oh, it's cool. So then they want to go back and watch some of those videos again, and then it kind of goes back and forth, this YouTube to online events, to real world live performance.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with everything you just said. I mean, first of all, I'm sure you guys have heard this in your comments a million times, because I've actually seen it too, that people will say, oh, I love your version over the original on so many of your covers. And I do think Alejandro, his voice is just, it's so silky perfect. That you know, is why people do love, you know, so many of your covers over the originals, and that's not to negate the originals at all, but I mean, you guys just do what you do so well, whether it's your work or someone else's. So, you know, I think I heard Michael Bublé say on one of your reels something like, if your song hasn't been covered by Boyce Avenue, then you haven't made it. And that's quite a compliment. But
yeah, that is a nice compliment. And you know what's crazy too is that like a lot of the people, you know, a lot of the artists who are really huge right now, they're technically doing covers because it's like if we do a cover of Miley Cyrus song, you know, there's a good chance that's not a song that she wrote.
Right.
There's all these other talented songwriters that are behind the scenes not really getting as much credit as they deserve, but she's basically covering a song. You know, and it's like that in country too. It's like a lot of the top country artists will get, you know, 60 songs written by unbelievable country songwriters, and they pick the ones 12 that they like best, and then they sing their version of it. So it's like, it's not like we're doing something that nobody. It's like every people have been doing covers for years and years and years. Neil got their start playing a small club in Hamburg doing covers. Liverpool, and it's like even the Beatles had to start doing covers at some point. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
At some point, we're going to continue to try and do originals, but I mean, it's a great way to start.
Yeah, I think you guys have definitely cemented your status as the founding fathers of, you know, boosting your career on YouTube this way. And, you know, it's funny because I've even referred to you guys when talking to local artists that I know who are looking for ways to, you know, boost their own careers. And, you know, I'll say, well, you know, are you familiar with Boyce Avenue? Do you, you know, so I think you guys are really, you're someone for people to look up to and inspire others, which is great. And you make beautiful music. And now, you know, you've toured extensively, and, you know, that's something, too, that you guys have been very successful at when other artists sometimes are maybe not hitting all the numbers of, you know, that they want to on ticket sales. You guys are doing well, and you're currently about to go out again, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I'm so glad that you pointed that out, because that's something that we have tried to nail down from day one, because we've seen other very, very talented musicians and singers on YouTube have a very successful YouTube career or YouTube channel, but then aren't able to quite translate it to actual physical touring numbers. So, since day one, we have always tried to couple our YouTube channel with touring. And we think they go hand in hand, because at some point, people may enjoy watching your videos online, but they might start to lose interest, or they might start to question the authenticity or the validity of, like, are these people actually really good singers, or is there some, you know, smoke and mirrors going on that I'm not really aware of? And so when they see us live, it's such an important aspect of our business. It's from day one. I mean, God, we were touring for years and years and years, and we were having to pay out of pocket, and we were taking a major hit financially because touring is crazy expensive.
Oh, yeah.
You think as our tours get bigger, you think, like, oh, man, these guys must be making bank. They're making more money because the tours are getting bigger. But it's not really, because the cost of touring goes up. It's like our crew gets bigger. We add a lighting package, so we have to pay for the lighting gear. We have to hire a lighting guy. You know, so we go from a van to a tour bus. It's, oh, man, they must be super successful. But then we're having to pay for that tour bus. We don't have label support or tour support money coming in. We're basically funding and paying for these tours all for ourselves. The tour buses are you know, super expensive. So it's like we don't really even make great money touring. I keep earning the money, but it's like I want people to know, I guess, that, like, you know, we tour because we love it and it's our passion. We're dying to get out there, get on stage, and see the fans face to face. But that's a sacrifice that we make that maybe other youngsters can't afford to make.
Right.
But yeah, from day one, we have done whatever we possibly can to make sure that touring is part of our band.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, too, you know, and people, you're right, people who aren't in the industry, they don't realize, you know, that how much the cost has gone up, especially for independent artists who are having to pay for the cost of going to other countries to, you know, you have fans all over the world. So, you know, it's really expensive.
Yeah.
And it's a great thing that you guys get out there and do that, but all in all, it, you know, it also does boost sales of, you know, individual singles that you have on iTunes, your original stuff coming up. I mean, if you're out there interacting with fans and gaining more fans as you're traveling, You know, there's a method to the madness, and it's necessary, you know, if you want to make this your job. So I think you guys have done really well at it, though, and it's a struggle. You know, it's a struggle to get out there and really make money anymore as a musician. But, you know, I think you guys are doing everything right. You have a great formula, and, you know, I'm bummed that I didn't get to see you when you were out here in California, so I hope you guys come back.
Yeah, we're on November 15th, I think, that we're playing the Will Turn, which is going to be unbelievable. I mean, that's like...
Oh, wow.
I saw James Blake perform there. And, yeah, the Will Turn is a beautiful venue, so I'm really excited for that show. And, yeah, it's crazy. Nowadays, it's like, you almost have to, like... There's so much... Like, from a band, there's so many different outlets that you have to try, and, you know, so many different social media sites, so many different types of, you know, things that we have going on. We have, you know, our merch, our, you know, we have our live show, we have the videos we post online, we have, you know, Spotify, Pandora, Facebook. It's like, it can be overwhelming sometimes, but it's also really exciting as well. I mean, there's, like, so many different, like, cool things going on in the music industry. It's just, like, I guess, long story short, I think it's just a boil it down to the I'm appreciative that I have my two brothers, because between the three of us, we're able to take on a lot of things that maybe just a, you know, a singer-songwriter who's by herself or by himself isn't able to maybe handle.
Right.
So I'm really fortunate that there's three of us. I think it helps.
Oh, definitely, and that you're all on the same page with where you guys want to go, because even within a band, that's not always the case, and, you know, it's great to have family on your side and, you know, all headed in the same direction. So I think, you know, I'm really happy for you guys and seeing where you guys are going. And, you know, I know that you're on a time limit. You have studio time today, so I'm not going to keep you. But I did have one fan that had a question for you. She wanted to know if you guys were ever going to go to Morocco.
Oh, wow. Yeah, of course. I mean, that's such a... It's a beautiful place. I've never been, but I've, you know, seen research online, and it's like, we get that from fans. It's like, we'll post something, and if you look through the comments, it's like, come back to Brazil, or you need to come here, you need to come here. And it kind of ties back into what we were just talking about. I mean, what I hope fans understand is that to play a certain city or a certain country, it's very difficult, it's expensive, and you have to have the right promoters wanting to come play there. And
right.
There's a lot of pieces, sort of this crazy puzzle that you have to lock in to make stuff like that work. But that I hope that they know that we are always, always trying. I mean, we've played Dubai, we've played the Philippines, we've played Brazil, but it's still not enough. Like, we still want to play all these awesome places, and we definitely hear them and we see them in the comments, and I hope they know that we're trying to work on it, but it's tough. It's expensive, and it's very difficult to make happen. But yeah, hopefully Morocco will be someplace we'll come soon.
Well, I think if you guys keep going the way you're going, you're going to hit every place eventually. And it, just the fact that you guys want to do so much for your fans and see everybody, I think that's great. And I appreciate you talking to us today, and we're going to post all your upcoming tour dates. And everybody, you know, if you're listening or reading and you have not made yourself familiar with Boyce Avenue yet, you will after today, and you'll be lucky that you did. So thank you again so much.
Cool, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for chatting, and I hope we get to meet and see you, and you know, whoever else wants to come out to the show who works for your guys' company, you guys should come check us out at the Wheelchair, and we'll hang out.
Oh, most definitely. I'm going to make it a point to be out there this time. Got to see you live. That would be incredible. So say hi to the guys, and thank you again. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been awesome.
All right, take care.